Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 231 on July 2nd, and we're just going to call it the Bond County Bicentennial 4th of July Independence Day episode.
That's
Zach's home episode.
There we go. Just throw it all together. Man, it's been a glorious weekend so far,
and
there's more to come. You know, we've got fireworks tonight. We've got Ides of March will have been playing while we're on the air. Before we record here and before they get fired up, the only music that we've got to contend in the background is the Greenville Municipal Band over at the other side of the courthouse, and it's kind of quiet right now. So
yeah,
we took this opportunity to jump right in.
Exactly, because when you say contend with, you don't mean that the music is good or bad or indifferent to it. It's just not as loud. That last night, the walls in here were shaking from head east.
Yeah. You can't contend with 20 kilowatts and three hot mics. It just won't go.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's a little quiet. There's a dull roar rather than a screaming, earth-shaking presence. So.
Well, there's a giant generator in the alley down the way, and Kent from Z&Z Electric is sitting on the tongue making sure that generator's running. And
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, and that's what's powering all of this. And it looks to be about a 40-kilowatt generator, so there's plenty of headroom there. So, yeehaw!
Well, and we've had such a good time because we kept the Creekside studio open, and so people could come and go. And we let anyone know that, you know, if you're an Owl Creek Gazette reader or Creekside with Don and Jan listener or just longtime friend and you're out and about in Greenville, come on in and see us. And so on top of the fact that our oldest son Zach is home, which makes everything good, then we have had the luxury of visiting with longtime friends that we haven't connected up with for a while, and we got to introduce Zach to a lot of readers that have heard a lot about him. So this is the living in person Zach.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's been fun, and we had today we got to talk with Alex and Rachel Mayfield, and Owl Creek Gazette readers will remember them from. We did an article on the commuter car.
Yeah.
A nice little electric car, and Alex had been working on his, and he invited us out, and we got to check it out. And then Rachel, his wife, has contributed really good-tasting recipes to the magazine, bread and cookie recipes. So
right. She won a baking contest with that we had one in conjunction with Father Dom being here last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun seeing those guys today, and they have got the sweetest little daughter.
They do, and she smiles. It's just a delight just to look at her. And she was all enthusiastic. She had a little whistle that she'd gotten.
Oscar Mayer Wienermobile whistle.
Right, because the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was in the parade today for the bicentennial. And you were showing her, Don, the different sounds it could make. And that would really intrigued her, and she gave it all a try. And she was a very happy camper.
Yeah, I saw that thing had the two holes in it, which means that it's at least a four-tone whistle, and so it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost play the Oscar Mayer theme song on it.
And then right before we started to record, Keith and Amanda Ford stopped by, and they were looking in the window thinking that we'd already started to record, so they didn't know whether they should come in, and we waved them on in, and we got to visit with them, too. And, of course, Keith writes a regular column, the Frugality column. In addition to Alex and Rachel and their daughter and Keith and Amanda that we just spoke about, Jay Johnson stopped in last night. And I think we had a picture of them either in the magazine or on Facebook. They had made these wonderful pickles and brought them over to us.
I remember
Gosh,
those pickles.
It's been a couple of years ago,
those
so you can tell how much
pickles,
they really are. And
I'm not much of a pickle person.
Well, and they'd made them in conjunction with, you know, we were having the Laura Ingalls Wilder Little House on the Prairie autumn dinner, and some of those recipes how they did their pickling came from those cookbooks.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a nice, you know, tie-in, and they just wanted to share those with us, and we enjoyed that. But Beth, his wife, didn't make it over, but Jay was over last night, and I saw him post several things about on Facebook when he was sending, I'm nostalgic as I'm remembering my teen years sitting here listening to Hetty. So.
Well, that's why he came over, was because that was one of his favorite bands.
Right. Yeah. Of course, you had repaired a lot of things for a number of things for Jay over the years, musically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually brought pliers down here just in case something needed twisted up.
You're ready, huh?
I'm ready today.
And then we also got to see Mark Gasser. And
there went the bug, by the way. Ryan Mifflin and his daughter, the bug.
Oh, okay. And folks, we've talked about Dirty Roots. Ryan has been on our podcast and our members only episodes too with Midweek at the Creek. And he does, Ryan is Dirty Roots Radio.
You bet you Ryan is Dirty Roots. He's got Dirty Roots.
And his daughter, once in a while, the bug, he calls her. Yeah. She does the show with him from time to time. Yeah. So anyway, we also had Mark Gasser stop by, and folks will know him as the chef with the cast iron cooking skills. He and his wife were the cast iron chefs for our latest autumn dinner.
Yeah.
No, not our latest autumn dinner.
Our latest spring event, the Owl Creek Gazette
Self-Reliant and Sustainability Home Show.
How could we forget that?
We didn't forget for very long. And then we also had Adam Wells came. Adam is a good friend of Zach's, and so whenever Zach's in town, his friends stop by. But Adam has been in the magazine sharing recipes, and he's also been on the podcast a couple of times. Yeah. And I would also be remiss if I didn't mention that Betsy Palmer Bardo came by. And Betsy's one of our newest Owl Creek Gazette subscribers. And we've been conversing on Facebook and getting to know her that way. And so I said, well, if you're in town for the event, come on down and say hello, and we'll get to meet each other in person. And she did. And also then, she and her husband have been to the Cardinals game Friday night, and evidently everyone that attended got a
1967 Cardinals World Series mug.
Yeah, Bierstein.
Yeah, Bierstein.
And so she says, anybody want this? And I said, I do. So not only did we get to meet and visit, I also am the recipient of two Bierstein's here.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, so that was nice. Just another treat of getting to know our readers. So it's neat to be able to have those connections, and we appreciate everybody stopping in. And I'm betting before the weekend is out, we will see a few more people that read the magazine and our podcast listeners.
And we actually, you know, the Bond County Historical Society asked if we would like to move our magazine we have a little magazine rack just out into the doorway between their show that's going on and our place here. And so we've closed the door and put the magazines on the other side of the wall so that we could do the podcast. But people have been picking those magazines up like left and right.
We had
to replace a bunch of Tyler Dale issue last month's issue.
It's always fun when you have to restock.
Yeah, it is. And we have got something that we did in this month's July issue of the Owl Creek Gazette. Who were the founding fathers? And do we have any idea who the founding fathers were, really? You know, we're only told what we learned, you know, through the government school system, right?
Well, and everything gets watered down over time, I think, anyway. In fact, we saw a gentleman on being interviewed on Sunday morning, I think it was, and he was talking about he's written a book about the founding fathers because we're losing the whole notion of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. And so we get lost in the political party of a situation and forget that there's a constitutional basis and a Declaration of Independence basis that we need to look at to see where our roots are. So,
and, you know, the Congress is polarized over seemingly only black and white situations, you know, and there's never a black and white situation. But they popularize it, and it sells newspapers, it sells radio time, it sells TV time. And I guarantee you that CNN is, you know, doing what they can to trump up as much crap
no
on Trump.
Intended,
no
huh?
pun intended. No Trump pun intended, but there it is. But it, you know, it's evidenced by what they and who they fired over what was said about ratings. You know, the mm-hmm. ratings were driven through the roof over whether or not Trump was involved with Russia, you know, and the elections. And they're making hay while the sun shines and making the news instead of reporting the news. So that's what we deal with these days. And here what we have is something that was written.
Well, actually, since it's the 4th of July and Independence Day, and I actually prefer to call it Independence Day, I think it wakes us up a little bit more than just the 4th of July. Sometimes we think of red, white, and blue and patriotic and waving the flag and all that's pertinent and appropriate. But if you forget Independence Day, the day we declared our independence from Great Britain, for all the reasons that if we've read Common Sense and the Declaration document itself and followed the Revolutionary War and the history of all that, is very clear. But I wanted to go ahead and dig a little bit deeper into who the Founding Fathers were that aren't on the top tier list.
Well, yeah, and that's that. This is a great article for that. And,
thank you.
And I'm surprised at some of the outcomes of these folks, and that's what we're going to be getting into here in a minute.
So you can read this on page 7 of the July issue, but we wanted to just touch base on
it. We're going to read it to you because it's so important.
Except we're not going to read all 56 names of the Founding Fathers. They are in here. The men who there are other men considered to be Founding Fathers that did not sign the Declaration of Independence, for like example, Thomas Paine. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and read this.
They call that online editing or linear editing. We're going to edit it as we go.
Okay.
Edit those 56 names out.
Yeah, because that could be a tongue-tangling experience. And there's a lot of Johns.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sure. So.
Go ahead.
Who were the Founding Fathers? In part, and to the point, the Founding Fathers were the men who committed treason against King George III by boldly declaring, "These United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved." In 1973, historian Richard B. Morris selected the following 7 figures as the key founding fathers: John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and George Washington. In a 2015 children's book titled The Founding Fathers, author Jonah Winner categorized 14 leading patriots into 2 teams based on how he viewed their contribution to the formation of America. The varsity squad, as he called them, were Washington, Franklin, Jefferson, Adams, Madison, Jay, and Hamilton. The junior varsity squad was made up of Samuel Adams, John Hancock, Patrick Henry, Robert Morris, John Marshall, Benjamin Rush, and Thomas Paine. And yet there were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Men of means and education, 25 of the 56 were lawyers or jurists. Others were merchants, farmers, and plantation owners. One was a teacher, one was a musician, and one was a printer. These men signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well the penalty could be as harsh as death if they were captured. And yet, we don't often hear about those who were captured or the other hardships that actually fell upon many of the signers. In fact, in the months and years following the signing, 5 signers were captured and tortured as traitors by the British. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned, losing all of their possessions. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Others had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. Here are some of the stories according to the National Heritage Center for Constitutional Studies.
In the face of the advancing British Army, the Continental Congress fled from Philadelphia to Baltimore on December 12, 1776. It was an especially anxious time for John Hancock, the president, as his wife had just given birth to a baby girl. Due to the complications stemming from the trip to Baltimore, the child lived only a few months. William Ellery's signing at the risk of his fortune proved only too realistic. In December 1776, during 3 days of British occupation of Newport, Rhode Island, Ellery's house was burned and all of his property destroyed. Richard Stockton, a New Jersey State Supreme Court justice, had rushed back to his estate near Princeton after signing the Declaration of Independence to find that his wife and children were living like refugees with friends. They had been betrayed by a Tory sympathizer who also revealed Stockton's own whereabouts. British troops pulled him from his bed one night, beat him, and threw him in jail where he almost starved to death. When he was finally released, he went home to find his estate had been looted, his possessions burned, and his horses stolen. Judge Stockton had been so badly treated in prison that his health was ruined, and he died before the war's end. His surviving family had to live the remainder of their lives off of charity. Carter Braxton was also a wealthy planter and trader. One by one, his ships were captured by the British Navy. He loaned a large sum of money to the American cause. It was never paid back. He was forced to sell his plantation and mortgage his other properties to pay his debts. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he had to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Continental Congress without pay and kept his family in hiding. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Clymer, Hall, Harrison, Hopkinson, and Livingston. 17 lost everything they owned. Thomas Hayward Jr., Edward Rutledge, and Arthur Middleton, all of South Carolina, were captured by the British during the Charleston campaign in 1780. They were all kept in dungeons at St. Augustine Prison until exchanged a year later. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson, Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the family home for his headquarters. Nelson urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home. This was done, and the home was destroyed. Nelson later died bankrupt. Francis Lewis also had his home and properties destroyed. The British jailed his wife for 2 months. That, along with other hardships from the war, also affected her health, so that she died only 2 years later. Honest John Hart, a New Jersey farmer, was driven from his wife's bedside when she was near death. Their 13 children fled for their lives. Hart's field and his grist mill were laid waste. For over a year, he eluded capture by hiding in nearby forests. He never knew where his bed would be the next night, and he often slept in caves. When he finally returned home, he found that his wife had died, his children disappeared, and his farm and stock were completely destroyed. Hart himself died in 1779 without ever seeing any of his family again.
So on this Independence Day, let us not only remember the famous signers of the Declaration of Independence that our history books so often speak fondly of, but all the brave men who mutually pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, for they too were founding fathers. Also, let us not forget the wives and children who shared in the sorrow and suffering of their husbands' and fathers' declaration to build a nation that was founded on the self-evident truth that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These were trying times, to say the least, and we do ourselves a disservice to wrap them up in festive red, white, and blue without remembering the reality of the loss that accompanied our liberty.
Yeah, and you know, every time I hear somebody say, well, those are a bunch of rich white men that were in charge of all that, and they deserve what they got. Well, now, wait a minute. You're standing there telling me that it was a bunch of rich white men that saved your butt?
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to present this article, because I wanted to know they weren't these white men sitting there in their perfect world. These people pledged their lives, their sacred honor, and their...
They pledged everything they had. They
and
pledged,
gave it.
And gave it, right.
And gave it, yeah.
And
so.
It's not something to be taken or looked at lightly.
Right.
We had other issues at the time, but those issues were... You know, so far removed from the death that these people were promised by the British for doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's our hat tip to the founding fathers. And when you read the article, look at the 56 names there and do your own research if you want to. This is the tip of the iceberg what we gave you here.
Yeah.
And it piqued my interest to want to learn more about the men that I don't know much about. The names on the list, it's like, you know, I've heard most of them, but not all of them, and even the ones that I've heard of that aren't on that top tier, the varsity squad, you know, yeah. the varsity team or the junior varsity. There's more to these people. And I think if we will investigate that at our own leisure and sit down and really study their lives, we will be amazed at the Founding Fathers above and beyond what we already are amazed by. Perfect men they were not, but they were men.
All right. Plenty to think about.
So we're going to end our show a little bit shy of our normal 30 minutes because we want to get back to all the things happening at the Bond County Bicentennial. But since we have never missed an episode here at Creekside with Don and Jan,
whoever that is.
231 consecutive episodes we weren't going to miss tonight.
Right. And we're going to get back to the revelry that we've got going on out here, and we're going to be... We're cutting off here just before 6 o'clock because that's when the band is supposed to start,
and
we're
not going to be able to.
And the walls start shaking.
That's
right.
That's
right. So y'all take care.
And thanks for tuning in.
Have a happy Independence Day, and be careful out there.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye bye now.